into wine is known as one of the signs in John's gospel, the first miraculous sign. Now, when we think of a sign, this is probably what we think of. Here we are, a nice sign to somewhere famous, an Unbridge Ford. Yes, somewhere famous, Necton. And do you know where this sign is? Anyone recognize it?
Yeah,
well, there we are. It's a roundabout, isn't it? But what are signs for? Sorry? Yeah, they show us the way, and somebody else said?
Point us in the right direction.
Point us in the right direction. Two very good answers there. They show us the way, they point us in the right direction. They show us where to go, Necton. They are not Necton in itself, but they're showing you the way to go. That's the sign. So we need to think about that and bear that in mind when we think about signs. Now, last week, we were considering the story of Jesus calling two of his disciples, Nathanael and Philip. And I told you some interesting facts on that particular occasion. Those of you who were in church last Sunday, this is a little quiz. Test your memory, see how good you are remembering. Right, I told you that Philip and Andrew and Simon, they all came from the same place. Where did they come from? Nazareth, Capernaum, nobody's... I think there's some wishful thinking going on here.
Bethsaida,
that's where they came from. Philip, Simon and Andrew all came from Bethsaida. Nathanael, on the other hand, where did he come from?
Cana,
yeah, absolutely right. And so there is a link between that story and this story, because this story is the wedding at
Cana,
absolutely right. And so we're told that Mary was invited to the wedding, and along with Jesus and all of his disciples. Now imagine that from Nathanael's point of view. There he is with Jesus, and he's gone to a wedding in his own hometown, and it's absolutely lovely. And weddings are terrific. Let's just say this bit for a moment. But on the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples, including Nathanael, no doubt, who had been also invited to the wedding. But then the unthinkable happened. What happened?
They ran out of wine.
The wine ran out. Now, in terms of world calamities, this may not seem to be very important. After all, compared to living in an occupied land ruled over by pagan Romans, the problem actually may seem quite trivial. But not to the couple whose wedding it was, and particularly not to the groom. To him, this was not only a social embarrassment, it was a complete, an utter tragedy. It was a real, real disaster. Because not only was this supposed to be the best day of his life, it was supposed to be a wonderful feast and celebration. And in Jewish life, wedding feasts are hugely symbolic. Did you know that? They are symbolic because they're supposed to be spiritually significant, and they are a foreshadowing, a pre-echoing, if you can use such a phrase, a foreshadowing, a pre-echoing of those great heavenly banquets that Jews believe would take place when the Messiah came to restore all things, and when God's kingdom would finally be established. How much they longed for that day when God would actually come and actually be with his people. But instead of their wedding being a real celebration of the love for this man, for this woman, lasting all week, it now looked as if it was going to be a real damp squib, with people who had probably travelled several miles, many miles in fact, having to go home early as the celebration suddenly comes to an end and all of that joy has suddenly dried up. Terrible, isn't it? Terrible. And so what does Mary do?
She asked Jesus to do something.
Yes, she asked Jesus to help. Now, this is interesting because in John's Gospel, Mary only appears twice. She appears once here at the wedding of Cana. And it's at this moment that Jesus says to her, "Woman, why do you involve me? My time has not yet come." Time. Very special. The second time that Mary appears in John's Gospel, she appears, of course, in all the other Gospels, but the second time she appears in John's Gospel is at the foot of the cross, when Jesus' time most certainly has come. So the appearance of Mary in John's Gospel acts like two bookends covering the start of and the finish of Jesus' ministry, and everything else is contained within. So she's significant. But Mary is not put off by Jesus or his offhand manner. She simply tells the servants to do whatever he tells you. And what does Jesus do?
Gives the water to wine.
Now, before that, what does he do?
He asks a question.
Is,
have you got any water vats?
Yes. Have you got any water vats? And what happens next?
Tells the servant what to do.
He tells the servant what to do. Mary says, "Do whatever he tells you." Jesus says to the servants, "Go and fill these water vats, these ceremonial water jars, full of water." Now you've got to remember. Here we are. Water jars. Jars, all right? Great big jars. And Jesus, each one of these would have carried, in the time of Jesus, each one of them is a lot bigger than this. I wouldn't be able to lift it up. I would be struggling because it was water jars that were used for the ceremonial washing of the Jews in their festivities. And even the people at weddings would be required to wash their hands and their feet whenever, you know, because it was a special occasion. And so that each one of these jars, how big were these jars, Mike? Do you know?
20 or 30 gallons.
Yeah, they held between 20 to 30 gallons of water.
About this high.
About that high, yes, that's right. And how many of them were there?
Six.
So how many gallons is that?
A lot.
Thank you, Di. You gave me the correct answer. It's between 120 to 180 gallons of water. All right? So, what Jesus does is he says to the servants, "Fill those jars up with water." And he fills it up right up to the brim. Absolutely up to the brim. And then what happens? What does he do then?
He tells the servant to take it to the master's servant.
Yes.
Try it.
First of all, we've got to draw some of the water off, yes? So they draw the water off, and it's turned into wine. There you are. Somebody like to taste it? Oh, James, what good man. There you are. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I can't drive home now.
No, that's right. It's good stuff, believe you me. It is. Yeah, it's wine. It's okay. Very good. So, wine was a symbol of God's blessing and good fortune. And the water that had been used for washing and cleansing had suddenly been turned into this wonderful, wonderful wine. What did the master of ceremonies say about it? Yes, he says, "You've saved the best to last." And so there's wine of the best vintage, the best quality. And how much wine was there? The same amount as there was water. Yes, how much was that? A lot. 120 to 180 gallons of wine. There's no half measures here in this particular story. There's no skimping or saving or anything of that sort. It's abundant wine. Weddings in Jewish times, they lasted for a week. Imagine that. But there was enough wine there to last a month, a year, a lifetime. Well, a good fortnight at any rate. So it was good. There was plenty of wine, and it was absolutely abundant, and it was absolutely wonderful, and it was of the best quality, and it was completely astonishing because nobody expected it. Well, I want to share something else with you about this particular thing, all right? You don't understand how disastrous the situation particularly was. Who was it disastrous for?
The groom.
Because in those days, it was the groom's responsibility to organize the wedding and the party, and everything was if it didn't happen, it was his fault. All right, and it could have been a sign of a terrible wedding, a bad omen, and all that sort of thing. Okay, it would have been a real embarrassment. As I say, in terms of world calamities, it may not have been very significant, but in terms of a personal family situation, it was highly significant. All right. Now, who gets the credit for it? Who gets the credit for this wonderful wine? No? 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 The master of ceremonies, who does he speak to? Does he speak to Jesus? No. The master of ceremonies speaks to the groom. And the groom gets the praise and the plaudits for this wonderful occasion. You know, what wonderful wine this is. You have say everybody else brings out the cheap wine, the good wine first, and then the cheap one, but you've saved the best to last. I think I said that the wrong way around. But anyway, you've saved the best to last. Jesus doesn't really feature in the thanksgiving of it, as it were, because not in the story, because the praise goes to the groom. The groom has been rescued. He has been, saved face. There's no more embarrassment for him. He has been rescued. And we hope and pray and trust that he and his wife had a wonderful, wonderful wedding. Okay, so that's great. But I was talking to you about signs earlier on. Signs point at things, don't they? Who does this sign point to? Sorry?
The Father.
The Father, yes. It points to Jesus. Jesus, it is, we're told that this was the first sign where Jesus had revealed his glory, and the disciples put their faith in him. Okay, way back last week I said John the Baptist had said that this was the one who was going to reveal himself to Israel, and then there was that story of him revealing himself to Nathanael. Well, now he's revealed himself once again in the miraculous story of the turning of water into wine, and his glory is revealed, and his disciples put their faith in him. Now, what were those festivals all about? What was the hope and the dream and the aspiration of those festivals? Not just weddings. Yes, absolutely. It would be a wonderful heavenly banquet at the time when God's kingdom has been established and when the Messiah has come. So what's happening here? The Messiah's here. That's right. Okay. That's why it's a really exciting a wonderful, wonderful occasion, all right? It's not just the best, it's brilliant. isn't, because actually there's implications that it's not just implication for those with eyes of faith to see the Messiah has come. He's there, blessing them in their lives and in their situations. So what can we say about this for us? Okay, well, there are several little things. All right, sometimes we think that God is concerned about big events, worldwide events, and of course he is, and we pray for those occasions, don't we? We pray that the Lord will bring peace to the world, and that, you know, this terrible situation across the world will be resolved. But actually, God is also concerned about the things that matter to us. He's concerned about our lives too. He's concerned about the way that we live, and he wants us to know him and experience him and enjoy him in all of its splendor. And if you have a situation in your life and you think that the Lord doesn't know about you and he can't possibly be concerned, that can be further from the truth. God is concerned about the trivial things, in world terms, important things to you. He's just as concerned for you as he is anything else. The other thing is, of course, it wasn't just a little bit of water that was turned into wine. It was a lot of water that was turned into wine. It was excessive amount of water that was turned into wine. It was abundant water turned into wine. God's blessing is good, and he's gracious, and he's generous. And we need to hold on to that in our hearts. We so often think that the Lord is mean and miserly and a skinflint, and it's not like that at all. He is abundantly loving and generous. And finally, of course, it was on that occasion a wonderful, wonderful miracle. It pointed to who Jesus was. And in our own lives, I do believe that God can perform the miraculous. He can change and transform our ordinary lives into something special when we put our faith and our trust in him. When we recognize and see him just for who he really is, the Lord and Savior of the world. At this particular moment, in this particular story, he said to Mary, "Why do you involve me? My time has not yet come." But later on, his time had come, and it was for the benefit of all who put their faith and trust in him, including you and me. So that all times, particularly heavenly times, will be absolutely wonderful and perfect when we see God in all his fullness. God wants to bless us and enjoy our lives in all his fullness. And may he bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.